When the NWO destroys anything less, would be civilized.
Yo ho ho ho, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Brave New World Order, straight out the catacombs of podcasting. I am your host, Brandon St. One. Welcome and thank you all so much for joining me for this episode as we dive straight into the abyss like we always do and take a look at a few topics, one of them being a possible deep state target list that this man, Ivan Reichlin, former military Green Beret, he is a constitutional lawyer and a former member of the Department of Defense. He claims he has all this information on the deep state, and this information has been sent out to Elon Musk and journalists like Matt Taibbi, famous for the Twitter files, as well as members of the government having this information as well. And it's any moment now that this info is going to drop and it's going to implicate hundreds of members of the deep state that started a plan in 2016 with Crossfire Hurricane. If you don't know what that is, it was an illegal, alleged spying operation that the Obama administration ran on the incoming president, which was Donald Trump. This man, Ivan Reichlin, claims to be the Secretary of Retribution that is going to lead what he says is an operation, and they're going to raid people, and they're going to live stream it. We're going to dive all into it. I have a clip of him getting questioned by somebody from NPR, and he lays out so much information. We're going to go through that clip, and we also are going to talk about some vaccine news. There's been some revelations with AstraZeneca, and there's also been Chris Cuomo, former CNN media personality, now coming out and saying that he takes an heroic dose of ivermectin every day now. And we're going to listen to him from the past and from the present. And we're going to make fun of him. And then we're also going to take a look at what's happening with the GameStop Wall Street Bets saga that happened a few years ago. And it kind of faded into the background, but it's back. And I got a lot of information about that. But it's not just about GameStop. It's about how the game is completely rigged. It's a house of cards. And this is a way for us regular people and the people that the World Economic Forum and Noah Yuval Harari would call useless eaters. It's a way for us to kind of take some power back. So we're going to dive into that, talk some shit, have some fun, and maybe learn a thing or two. Who knows? I'm definitely going to talk shit, though. So thank you, everyone, so much for joining me on this journey, exploring this reality. If you enjoy the Brave New World Order, definitely smash that like button, leave a review, leave a star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Share this with your friends and your family, people interested in some far out conspiracies, hermeticism, the occult, whatever. Share the Brave New World Order if you're enjoying it. That's enough shameless self-promotion out of me. Let's dive into the goods. We definitely have a lot of shit to get through today in this episode. The first thing I want to take a look at is this clip that I got from Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days. And this video popped up and Ivan Reichlin was at a hearing in the background. He wasn't there to testify or anything, but Congress held a hearing about weaponizing the government. It was one of those oversight committees, and he was in the background sitting there, and there was a reporter from NPR, Zoe Chace. And this is an interaction that he filmed of Zoe Chace asking him questions about why he's there. And he starts dropping all this information. And I thought it was worth talking about, although I am hesitant to talk about politics and also people connected to Michael Flynn and Q, and people have branched off of that whole thing because it's all theater. And this is probably all theater as well. But he does mention Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger having the information that he has, and they're just waiting or going through it. I'm not really sure. He doesn't specify, but we are waiting for the time for this information to be exposed. And Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi are the journalists involved in the Twitter files, which I've talked about in the past when that information came out. So you can go back and listen to those episodes and see if you don't know about the Twitter files and if you're not familiar with Matt Taibbi or Michael Schellenberger. I did an episode on the censorship industrial complex, so check that out as well if you want to be more familiar with Michael Schellenberger's work, because he did shine a light on how the censorship industrial complex works and exposed a lot of the parties involved. So when I heard Ivan Raiklin mention these journalists, as well as Elon Musk, he says that Elon Musk has this information too. It's fucking fascinating. I'm going to keep an eye out. I don't like when people say that, like, just watch, something big is coming, sounds like the storm is coming, trust the plan kind of shit, right? But this dude, Ivan Raiklin, definitely says some shit that I think should be heard, and we can just take it in without getting all emotionally invested in all this shit and just watch the movie play out or the TV show of a world that we live in. You know, this is like a TV show. It's season 2024, and we're building up to the season finale, which is probably the election this year, right? So that being said, let's go through this clip. It's kind of long, so I'm not going to go listen to every single thing he says. We'll listen to snippets of it, and then I'll talk some shit, and then another snippet, and I'll talk some more shit. But as always, the link will be in the show notes, so you can watch the whole thing for yourself. It's on Twitter/X. So let's get to it. Ivan Raiklin is a former Green Beret, and he says he was a member of the Department of Defense for 20-something years. I've never heard of this man before, but he's connected to Michael Flynn. He's a lawyer as well. He says he has all the dirt on everybody. And once again, I can't stress this enough, this guy is former military, former Department of Defense. So you take that with a grain of salt, because you don't know what kind of operations these people are really running. There's layers, there's levels. This could be all part of it. And I just want to say that because I don't want anybody getting all fucking balls deep in on this shit like Q and thinking that they're going to be part of something that may not ever happen and it may just be bullshit. I don't know. Maybe. But most likely there's nobody coming to save you. This might just be Operation Trust Part 2, aka Q Part 2. Who the fuck knows what is going on anymore, right? But anyway, I've been rambling a lot. Let's listen to a little bit of this clip and what he has to say. And I'm just going to get right to where he starts dropping names. And they're talking about his Twitter account. And he said that his Twitter account was banned. And he starts dropping names. So let's get right to it.
Okay. So my Raiklin account is still being censored by the FBI's Brian Auten, Laura Demlow, Joe Pienka, and Elvis Chan.
Well, so you started a new account.
No, that still exists because it was reinstated. Those are the individuals that are at the FBI that run the censorship industrial complex on behalf of this illegitimate regime. Do you know those names?
No.
I can provide you much detail on. They were the ones also involved in the original illegal Crossfire Hurricane spying operation on General Flynn, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and Paul Manafort. I have receipts on every single individual. That's why they haven't really come after me yet, because if they bring me in, the entire regime comes crumbling down. Whoa. Okay? So they are scared of me, not the other way around.
He does make an interesting point because, I don't know, everybody. I've never heard of this guy before, though. I wonder if you all have heard of Ivan Raiklin. Let me know. But I've never heard of him. And you would think that they would go after somebody like this, right? Talking all types of shit, showing up at fucking hearings and committees and stuff, saying that he has all this information related to certain people. So it makes sense they wouldn't blow up his name and expose the information that he has. Kind of makes sense that he's off the radar a little bit, right? And the one thing about this guy, that he's pretty cool, calm, and collected when he's explaining all this stuff. And you definitely got to see the video, because this lady's face is priceless. Like, her eyes like are fucking bugging out of her head when he says some shit. It's funny as hell. All right, let's keep going. And he explains the fucking deep state hit list that he has, that has like hundreds of people on it.
On your Twitter bio, I noticed today it said Secretary of Retribution.
Yep. I just wondered what that meant. Yeah, that means that I will guarantee consequences for a list of at least 350 individuals that are on my deep state target list.
Okay.
And when you read that deep state target list, remember, I'm an attorney and a retired Green Beret. Okay?
That I know. Well, Nate, that I might be interested in talking with you more about is your deep state target list, if you have time.
Elon Musk has it. Michael Schellenberger has it. Matt Taibbi has it.
Mm-hmm.
The Judiciary Committee has it. The Weaponization Committee has it. The Oversight Subcommittee that is part of the House Administration Committee has it.
Mm-hmm.
The House Freedom Caucus has it. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, likely has it. And it's just a matter of time for a joint press conference to take place between Speaker Johnson and Elon Musk to go ahead and disclose and release the Twitter direct messages of those individuals on my deep state target list, proving the seditious conspiracy going back to 2016,
mm-hmm.
the illegal spying operation on the Trump campaign. You're also going to find the involvement of Mike Pence and his chief of staff, Joshua Pitcock, in that conspiracy, along with Josh Pitcock's wife, Catherine Seaman, who was the senior Russia analyst for Peter Strzok, who was one of the two individuals that was deployed by Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe to get General Flynn to lie or to get him fired, as per Bill Priestap's notes, which was the deputy assistant director of counterintelligence at the FBI.
That's a long
list. I can go in much more detail, but that's generally the crux of it.
Shit, right? That's a lot of names, a lot of people involved. Former Vice President Mike Pence being implicated. He's calling himself the Secretary of Retribution. Fucking hilarious. And it definitely has the vibes of these military tribunals. I don't know if you guys have heard of these. There's a whole group of people who think that these type of military tribunals have already been held. And people like Hillary Clinton and like Obama and other people have been executed for treason and crimes against humanity. This has those vibes to it for sure. Let's listen to a little more of this compelling interaction.
Do you get to meet with Jim Jordan and talk about this stuff?
I meet with everybody.
All these guys?
Every single member that you think I talk to or may talk to, I talk to them.
Mm-hmm. And what do you guys talk about? Like, what's the reason that you talk to
everything
them?
Everything that I put out publicly,
yeah.
I also provide that to them.
Uh-huh. And I guess
behind closed doors. What are you hoping
to get out of talking to them? Like, why do you do it?
Want to guarantee Elon Musk discloses the direct messages for the mother of all Twitter files so that the entire country can see what just occurred to them, from starting from the illegal spying operation,
mm-hmm.
the corrupt DOJ and FBI. The raid on Mar-a-Lago was to seize the evidence that was declassified by Donald Trump in the last few hours of his first term, which involved the Crossfire Hurricane details, which would list all the names that I've mentioned so far.
Okay.
Whether it was Lisa Page, who was Andy McCabe's chief counsel at the time, along with Peter Strzok, a guy by the name of Joseph Pientka III, who is currently the number three individual at the San Francisco field office. So you have the special agent in charge, you have a ASAC, assistant special agents in charge, and then you have the ASAC for counterintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a guy by the name of Joseph Pientka III, who was the second agent that was deployed to interview General Flynn on January 24th, 2017, in order to get General Flynn fired or to get him to lie.
Right.
That was an entrapment, and that's the same agent that was deployed in August of 2016 to the Trump campaign to do what they call a counterintelligence briefing, a defensive one,
mm-hmm.
but with the secondary purpose in order to, and this was him, Pientka, along with Trump, Chris Christie. You know that Chris Christie's attorney during his Bridgegate scandal was Christopher Wray?
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. And then the third person in that meeting was a guy by the name of General Flynn. Joe Pientka was deployed by the Crossfire Hurricane leadership, authorized by the general counsel at the time, Jim Baker, who then later became the Twitter 1.0 number two lawyer, to coordinate the censorship industrial complex to cover up and censor and suspend those individuals that exposed their corruption. Okay? And it just keeps mounting and mounting and mounting, the cover-ups. This is just yet they're trying to take out Trump now, because they were able to take out their first existential threat, which was General Flynn, because he would have been the first one to go ahead and expose this level of corruption,
mm-hmm.
because he knows the system. Now that Trump knows the system after being 4 years in it, he is now an existential threat to that very DOJ, the national security apparatus. Remember, 39 individuals unmasked General Flynn. Okay. One of them was Jamie Raskin's wife, Sarah Raskin. Totally unlawful, unmasking. Look that up.
Okay.
The 51 individuals that said the Biden laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian information campaign,
mm-hmm.
were your colleagues over at Politico published that on their website.
Mm-hmm.
One of those 51 individuals is John Brennan. Another one is a guy by the name of David Buckley. David Buckley ended mm-hmm. up becoming the staff director for Liz Cheney's and Benny Thompson and Nancy Pelosi's January 6th cover-up committee.
So it's a pretty small world, it sounds like.
So David Buckley was tasked to create a list and do his deep state target list
mm-hmm.
of political targets. So now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a deep state target list, and I'm coming for all of them. And what does that mean when I say coming for all of them? It means the most legal, moral, and ethical consequences to the maximum, to include the maximum punishment for treason. I personally guarantee that they're going to face those consequences. And you can take a look at that list.
Ivan Raiklin dropping some bombs. He's thrown out a lot of information detailing how a web of deceit and cover-ups and layers of cover-ups upon cover-ups, all the way to the Twitter files in the censorship industrial complex to try to cover up all of their crimes, allegedly, leading all the way back to 2016 and Crossfire Hurricane. And I find it interesting that he mentions that General Flynn was the first existential threat to the deep state, and they were able to entrap him and get him out of the way. But now that Trump was president for 4 years, he was able to see what is going on, and now he is the existential threat, and that's why we see what is happening now and how they are supposedly weaponizing the Justice Department against Trump. Definitely seems like it. If I didn't think it was all theater and bullshit, I would definitely be fucking pissed off at all that. But I'm not emotionally invested in any of all this, like politically. My side, my team, Team Trump, all that shit, MAGA people, whatever. I don't give a fuck about any of that. I think it's all bullshit. I think it's two wings of the same bird, right? And I've always talked about the layers upon layers of deception. So who knows what the game is? This may be part of the game. This may be somebody who is exposing the game for real. Who knows? He was a member of the Department of Defense for like 20-some years. Green Beret. Maybe he is just playing a role as well. I don't fucking know. But let's listen to some more of Ivan Raiklin discuss what he means by retribution and how he thinks it's all going to go down.
Like, are you going to sue them? Is that what you would do?
Just wait for it. Okay. You will see it. It will be so visible for the entire world to see and hear. I'll give you some examples.
Okay.
I'm going to incorporate the precedence that's already been set. So we're going to incorporate what was done to General Flynn. We're going to incorporate what was done to Steve Bannon, what was done to Peter Navarro, what was done to Mike Lindell, what was done to Scott Perry. Translation, expect to see live stream swatting raids of every single individual on that deep state target list because the precedence has already been set.
And
remember when Mike Lindell in the Hardee's parking lot, the FBI went and conducted armed robbery of him in Minnesota? Remember when Peter Navarro was swatted in an airport? Remember when Steve Bannon on multiple occasions within the U.S. Capitol Police jurisdictional zone conducted swattings and allowed for swattings to take place of Steve Bannon and his residence? Remember the armed robbery and burglary of Roger Stone that was live streamed by your colleagues over at Criminal News Network?
Yeah.
That we're going to take in the collective and do that, okay?
Okay.
It does not matter what happens in the election. It does not matter who wins the election.
Ask.
This is going to take place at the hands of the American people, with or without an election, and with or without whoever wins the election. I guarantee you that that will take place at the county and state level, because right now the federal government is not in a position because of its capture and its corruption.
See, that right there is why I wanted to talk about this. He says it doesn't matter who wins the election this year. What he's talking about is going to go down no matter what. And that's interesting because a lot of people think that Trump must win, that he's the guy to save the world, that he's going to crush the deep state single-handedly. And I think that mindset is hilarious. And I find it refreshing when somebody comes out and says something like this Ivan Raiklin that doesn't involve Trump being the top guy that's going to be crushing everyone. I'm not down with that savior complex bullshit. But this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, even though it comes off kind of political. But it's really not. It's about the corruption. There's so much corruption and capture, like he says. That's true anyway. So let's listen to some more of what he says, how this is going to go down at the local level, and how they plan on deputizing former military officers that were fired or forced to resign from the military due to the COVID vaccine mandates, illegal ones. So let's take a listen.
So imagine this. When you take a look at the direct messages and the geotagged location data of the 350 plus members on that deep state target list, and then you curate that, Elon Musk, and then do geotagging of the communications, and then you present those communications to name the county of the 3,143 county and county equivalents in our nation, the 50 states and the 6 federal districts, right?
Okay.
And then you identify where a treasonous communication took place. And then you present that to the local DA, similar to good old Alvin Bragg. That then will create the nexus to showcase this criminal, seditious conspiracy and treason charge. And that local DA, the local sheriff, will then be deputizing folks like Ivan Raiklin and those of us that were thrown out of the military because we did not comply with the illegal DNA mutilation injection, the forced DNA mutilation injection.
Do you mean the COVID vaccine?
I'm talking about the CCP-19 lab incident money-making scheme by Pfizer, the Pfizer fail, the Moderna mutilation, or whether it was just the myocarditis-making, heart-exploding J&J jab. So those of us that were either thrown out or left because we would not participate in the DNA mutilation of our own physiological beings, there's 80,000 of us that are ready, willing, and able in order to be deputized by appropriate sheriffs throughout the country to be participants as lawful deputies to conduct live stream swatting raids of every single person that we can identify that conducted the necessary unlawful activity by county on my deep state target list.
Two questions. Where did you get the 80,000 number? My first question.
Yeah. So 8,600, about 8,500 approximately, were thrown out of the military.
Okay. Because they wouldn't do the vaccine.
Because it wasn't a vaccine. The name of vaccine, the definition changed before the rollout, and it was never approved by the FDA. There was never a product that was approved by the FDA to then be able to coerce and manipulate into other people's bodies. Okay. Don't believe me? Look at the footnote on FDA's own quote-unquote approval of Pfizer's Comirnaty. Legally distinct, and the product was never created. The Pfizer BioNTech was created, but that one was never approved. That was only under emergency use authorization.
Right.
So I need to correct you on that one. You need to do some more studying, ma'am, okay?
Damn. He just took her to school with some knowledge about vaccines, huh? He's absolutely right. They did change the definition of vaccine right in the middle of the pandemic. So he's definitely spot on about that. Let's keep listening.
Next, 80,000, okay? As far as the 80,000 goes, that's the minimum that I see of folks that left the military early through retirement, ended their careers early because of the illegal mandate that was promulgated by and enforced by the entire chain of command. Those are also going to be many of the members on the deep state target list are those military leaders, quote unquote leaders, I call them failures, within the Department of Defense and at the Pentagon that will face similar consequences for forcing and coercing unlawfully the mutilation of another person's body and thus minimizing and destroying our personal readiness.
Can I ask one last question? You don't have to
answer. It better be intelligent.
Well, I don't guess that'll be in the eye of the beholder. You don't think, you were saying it doesn't matter what happens in the election. So you don't think you need sort of the protection of Trump's Justice Department to do some of what you're talking about?
No, because we're going after the Justice Department.
But like,
they are the enemy. That's what you fail to understand. The individuals that I mentioned are the enemy of our constitutional order. We're coming for them maximally. And how we're coming for them is because we are engaging with counties and states in order to crush them.
Mm-hmm. With via the sheriffs, basically.
What do you think Alvin Bragg's doing right now? Is that a federal officer?
No.
Exactly my point. Look at the counties in this country that are red versus blue.
Mm-hmm.
It is overwhelmingly red. So Alvin Bragg and the Dems are setting our precedent as we go on offense.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ivan.
It's going to be a doozy. And I love it when it gets spicy. And there are, again,
I believe you.
Out of the 80,000 of us,
mm-hmm.
we are clamoring to be deputized by sheriffs nationwide in order to conduct the necessary live stream raids, if they want to push us to that. And I'll say lastly,
yeah,
there are over 1 million service members. I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
You said Secretary of Retribution. The Secretary of Retribution consists of three divisions. Number one, the research arm. And should there be a mechanism where we create it, it's going to be the first division. Is again, everything I'm telling you, I've already said it publicly. And I have many podcasts where I've said this.
Yeah.
So number one, we're going to have a research arm to continue to develop our targets, okay?
Okay.
Number two, and that's going to be staffed by January 6th defendants, family members, as well as their lawyers, since they have already kind of conducted some of that research.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already kind of interned, if you will, over the last 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Number two will be the second division, which will include the action arm. The 80,000 of us that have decades of conducting this type of activity of actioning targets overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third arm is going to consist of those that will live stream, right? Independent media, obviously not your organization, won't be included in that.
But
they will ride along. they will ride along and live stream the swattings and raids of the second division that I just mentioned, that are properly and appropriately deputized to conduct those raids. And then the first arm is obviously going to be the ones that create those lists. We're just using the playbook and the precedents that has already been developed to target those that conducted lawful First Amendment activity on January 6th and everything downstream from that.
So if you say you don't need, you're not waiting for Trump's election, like when are you planning to do it?
Stand by. So just keep an eye on things.
Okay. So how could I follow up with you?
So you can follow everything I do online. Everything's public.
But like, I advocate
for the most, these people are going to experience the most peaceful and patriotic, lawful, moral, and ethical experience of their life.
The swatting and the raiding sounds scarier than lawful and ethical and peaceful.
It's legal, moral, ethical. I said it was peaceful and patriotic. It may not be peaceful for them, but for me, it'll be peaceful.
Okay, all right. That's the end of that clip. Ivan Raiklin, former Green Beret, former Department of Defense, issuing a warning to the deep state target list that he has compiled. He says Elon Musk has it. He says everybody in the government has it. He says Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, they have it. Two journalists ready to unleash all of this. And we are living in a movie. If you had any doubts before, this is the proof. If this plays out and we get to watch live streaming raids on television, we are in a movie. There's no doubt about it. We shall see. Probably nothing will ever happen. Nothing ever happens like this. But hey, maybe it will be the Shyamalan twist that we've been waiting for this whole time. And if it does happen, though, what kind of precedent does that set going forward for the future, deputizing local people and former military and former January 6th defendants, and also getting independent content creators and media personalities to participate in all of this and get everybody worked up in a blood fever and wanting retribution? How far does it go? Just something to keep an eye on. Things can get out of hand really fucking fast. That's all I'm saying. But I thought this was fucking really interesting, and I wanted to share with all of you. Let me know what you think about that. Let me know if you come across any other information regarding this deep state target list. Fascinating stuff. But let's move on to the next thing that I want to talk about, since he did mention vaccines and what happened during the pandemic. There is some information coming out about AstraZeneca and how now they're admitting that the vaccine that they put out causes blood clots amongst other damaging side effects. And now you can talk about it because they had to admit it in court. And at the same time this information came out, they decided to pull the vaccine altogether and then blame it on low demand and not the fact that it actually harms people, and that they lied from the beginning by saying that it was more effective and that the side effects were more rare than they really are. I got a clip for us to listen to real quick from the news. I think it's out of the UK. Shout out to everybody outside of the United States. I know you're listening. I see the statistics and the analytics. The UK, Canada, Australia, I see all you. Shout out, much love. Because this AstraZeneca shot wasn't used in the United States, I think it affected people in the UK, Australia, I think. And Canada definitely got hit with that at first, and they suspended it real quick in 2021, I believe. But I think the United Kingdom kept on giving it out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me know. Like I said, shout out to UK. I'd like to hear from all of you. Hear your thoughts about all of this. But anyway, let's listen to this clip just so you can hear for yourselves that they're finally reporting on this. And I wonder if I'm allowed to talk about this on YouTube. I'm sure they'll let me know. This is going to go up on there, but it probably will get deleted, and I'll get a community guidelines strike within minutes. But anyway, have a listen.
In a recent court filing, AstraZeneca admitted their COVID-19 vaccine can cause a rare blood clot condition known as TTS. TTS is a syndrome that causes people to have blood clots and a low blood platelet count. Individuals claim the vaccine caused serious injuries. AstraZeneca said in the court filing, and I quote, "It is admitted that the AstraZeneca vaccine can, in very rare cases, cause TTS. The causal mechanism is not known." They added caution to these claims, citing that no causation can be identified without evidence. While acknowledging this rare side effect, AstraZeneca maintains that the vaccine's benefits in reducing COVID-19 deaths far outweigh the risks. AstraZeneca's admission in court documents adds a new layer to the ongoing lawsuit against the company. The lawsuit stems from claims the vaccine caused serious blood clots and other injuries in a smaller number of people. UK health regulators are investigating 81 deaths potentially linked to TTS, but emphasize this represents an extremely rare side effect. Independent studies continue to show the AstraZeneca vaccine's effectiveness in combating COVID-19. AstraZeneca's recent court admission has drawn renewed attention to the lawsuit filed by families who suffered serious health issues. These families are seeking millions in compensation. The UK government acknowledges that some victims may be eligible for compensation through its scheme, although some argue the payout is inadequate.
So that is from WION News out of the UK. And that sucks. People are injured. People got hurt. People died. And nobody gave a shit. And they made it so you couldn't talk about it. And you couldn't question any of this. It's fucked up. And now it seems like all at the same time, there's been a complete 180. And now people are allowed to talk about these things. Even the New York Times just ran an article about people who were injured by the vaccines and they feel like their voices aren't being heard. So it seems like it's all happening at once. And people like Chris Cuomo, who used to be on CNN, mocking everybody with Don Lemon, or Don Lemon, as we like to call him and mock him, because he is one of the most retarded media personalities to ever show their face on TV. No doubt about it. And Chris Cuomo, too. And his brother, Andrew Cuomo, who had an epic rise and fall that played out right before everybody's eyes throughout the pandemic. He ended up getting canned from being the governor. Chris Cuomo ended up getting canned from CNN. Don Lemon ended up getting canned from CNN. And now Chris Cuomo shows his weasley-ass face. Now he's like a completely different person talking about ivermectin. We're going to listen to a couple clips here. One is from the ghost of COVID's past, and one is from the ghost of COVID's present. And we'll see the duplicitous nature of these motherfuckers. Take a listen to this first clip. Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon talking shit when people were looking for alternative solutions to COVID. And they wanted to shut all of that down. And these people were complicit. Take a listen.
People who are injecting drugs for animals and horse.
And people telling them to.
Oh my God.
What person? You know, you talk about cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer. Really?
They are shaming themselves. No one has to shame them. They're shaming themselves.
No, they need to be shamed.
Yeah.
They need to be called out and shamed,
yeah.
Brother.
They need to be called out and shamed, brother. That's what he says. And he's talking about Joe Rogan, because Joe Rogan was talking about ivermectin. And they went on a massive campaign, hit piece after hit piece against him. It was quite funny. They even put a picture of him when he posted a video, and they changed his skin tone. He made him look sickly and ill. Like, this is what happens to you if you take ivermectin. You turn gray. It really was something else to watch it all unfold in real time. But now he's singing another tune. Take a listen to this. This was on the Patrick Bet David podcast. And since then, or actually maybe before this, he's been hired by them, which is fucking funny as shit. Why would you hire this guy? They need to be shamed. His words, they need to be called out and shamed. Like, why the fuck would you hire this guy of all people? Eh, it's his money. I guess if you got that Patrick Bit David money, you might just hire a moron or two once in a while just see how it all unfolds. But anyway, listen to this clip.
I'll tell you something else that's going to get you a lot of hits. I am taking a, what do they call it? Like a regular dose, you know, whatever. They're trying to build up of ivermectin. Ivermectin was a boogeyman early on in COVID.
You couldn't talk about it.
That was wrong. We were given bad information about ivermectin. The real question is why? Everyone's going to say Joe Rogan was right. No, Joe Rogan was saying, yeah, he was right. But that's not what matters. What matters is the entire clinical community knew that ivermectin couldn't hurt you. They knew it, Patrick. I know they knew it. How do I know? Because now I'm doing nothing but talking to these clinicians who at the time were overwhelmed by COVID and they weren't saying anything. Not that they were hiding anything.
Yeah.
But it's cheap. It's not owned by anybody. And it's used as an antimicrobial, antiviral in all of these different ways and has been for a long time.
For malaria for over almost 20 years.
Yeah. So, and my doctor, who is now my doctor, was using it during COVID on her family and on patients. And it was working for them. So they were wrong to play scared on that. Didn't know that at the time. Know it now. Admit it now. Reporting on it now. Because I think that's the job.
Oh, is that the job now, is it? To look into stuff and report on it. That's the job. Now you're realizing that's the job. How long you been a journalist? How long you been on TV? Oh, I think that's the job. We gotta report the truth. Oh, what about you and that other fucker mocking everybody and saying you have to publicly shame them when you could have just looked up the information about ivermectin back then? I did. I knew. I knew that there were benefits of it. I seen it that it won a Nobel Prize and that it cured river blindness and all this other shit. Didn't take a fucking genius. This guy is such a fag for real. And you know what I mean when I say that too. It has nothing to do with who you choose to be with. It has everything to do with displaying faggy ass behavior like that. YouTube is definitely going to get me now. Oh well. Fuck him. But yeah. Let me know what you think about Chris Cuomo and his fucking newfound revelations about journalism. So funny how he's just getting hired. What happened to, like, these people won't be able to walk the streets anymore? This guy is probably making mad money, and he's just able to, like, feign ignorance and be like, we just didn't know. It's madness. Oh, well. Fuck him. Let's move on to the next thing that I want to talk about, which is GameStop. I don't know if you were following the whole GameStop short fiasco that happened a couple years ago, but it's back. It never ended, actually. It just kind of faded into the background, and the people who run this shit were hoping that it would just go away and that all the regular Joe Schmoes were going to sell their shares so that these people's plans could be fulfilled and they would make tons of money fucking collapsing companies like GameStop and what they did to Toys R Us, which I didn't even really understand until I listened to this clip that I'm going to show you. It's a little lengthy, but it's fucking really good and interesting and explains this whole GameStop short sell and much more. It actually exposes that our whole system is completely rigged and how this GameStop event is exposing it and it could possibly bring down the whole system. I got this clip from Ian Carroll. I'm going to post it in the show notes because you all should go check him out on Twitter, on X, and peep what he has to say about a lot of different things. But he breaks down this whole GameStop thing in such a way that we can all understand. Check it out.
So this homie said, I can't believe this GameStop thing is still going on. Can someone explain it to me? I love Ian and everything he stands for, but I literally have no idea what this is about or how one stock could have any real effect on impacting ultra wealthy people. I'm down to help. I just need to understand what's going on. I got you, Matt. I'm going to try to put it all into one video right now. I've made lots of videos about pieces of this, but I'm going to try to like actually explain the real thesis of what's going on and why GameStop very well could affect the entire market and bring down corrupt financial institutions on a big scale. When you buy stocks normally, you're buying at a lower price and you're hoping it goes up so you can sell it and make some money, right? Well, there's no rule in the stock market that says you're not allowed to like borrow something from someone, right? So you're allowed to borrow shares from your homie. And if you borrow something, you're allowed to do what you want with it, right? Like I can borrow some shares and then sell them on the market right now. I just have to return them later to make sure that homie gets his shares back, right? So you're allowed to do this thing called short selling where you borrow some shares from whoever right now and you sell them at the market right now, hoping actually the price will go down. And then later you'll buy some and return them to your homie and you actually make money because you return them for less money than you actually made when you sold them in the first place. So short selling is this thing where you can bet the market will go down and it's like taking out a loan. And when the market goes down, then you close out the loan and you make some money. You have to pay a little interest to keep that loan open, but you can make a lot of money doing that. Especially if you see a company that's like obviously gonna die because it's a failing business model and you wanna make some money while it dies. But you'd wanna be really careful because if you have all these loans open and you're paying interest to keep your loans open, you're hoping the price goes down, but then it starts to go up a lot, you could lose a lot of money because you'd have to buy them all back at a higher price to pay back your loan and you had to pay interest to keep your loan open. And prices can go up infinitely, theoretically. So short selling is pretty dangerous and everyone knows that. And back in the 90s, all these rich people like at Bain Capital, like Mitt Romney, they realized that they can actually take companies down from the inside and basically loot a company from the inside, take all its money, give it to them and their buddies, the shareholders, and then bankrupt it and leave. And there's not really any consequences. You just buy into the company, buy a bunch of shares, get yourself on the board, take it over, start hiring people that'll do what you want, mismanage it, do a bunch of buybacks so the money gets paid back out to you and the shareholder buddies. And you can really just mismanage the company into the ground and basically loot it for all it's worth. And when it goes bankrupt, it's like, oh, well, whoopsies, it was destined to fail. We'll just move on to the next company, whatever, my mistake. And they made billions of dollars doing this to Toys R Us. And everyone else was looking around like, damn, that was a pretty solid strategy, Bain Capital. Maybe we could do that to some other companies. And this was just after the dot-com bubble happened. And so there was this whole internet thing. Amazon was on the rise. And everyone kind of realized, like, you know, there's all these retail stores out there that are probably in big trouble, like Blockbuster and Sears and GameStop. You know, companies that are bound to fail. So why don't we make them fail faster and profit off of that? Plus, it turns out that these dudes that work at places like Bain Capital that can take these places down from the inside out, turns out they have a lot of friends in the market that like to short sell. And the thing about supply and demand is when I'm borrowing like thousands and thousands and thousands of shares and selling them into the market right now, all that selling actually makes the price of the stock go down. Because like when everyone's selling something, it gets valued less. But when everyone wants to buy something, the value goes up, right? So short selling actually makes a stock's price go down. And these guys realize that, like, you know, you like to make money when stocks go down, and I like to make money when companies get destroyed. And when we do those both at the same time, everybody wins. Except the company, of course. And then it turned out they were like, hey, we both know a lot of people in the mainstream media that like to report on failing companies. You know, the kinds of reports that make investors scared and make them want to sell a stock. And they realized they kind of had the dream team for bankrupting companies and they could all make money on the way down and no one would ever stop them because it's kind of legal. And it actually started to work so well that they started to get really greedy. And they started to naked short sell, which means like no one's checking if we're even borrowing these shares that we're borrowing in order to short sell. So why even borrow them? We can just short sell shares and say we borrowed them. And the company's going to go bankrupt anyways. And when it does go bankrupt, We don't even need to pay that loan back because there's no shares to give back. They're gone. And fun fact, it's all tax-free money too because there's no company to, the shares are gone. Free money. So some of them got really greedy and started selling without even borrowing the shares in the first place. But we'll come back to that in just a second. Because the other thing that's important to realize about the stock market is it's like this big casino game now. So it's not like the big boys aren't just playing with like a share of a company. They're playing with these things that are called derivatives, which is like leveraging your assets to take out loans to like make big plays, big gambles. So they use all these special kinds of contracts where like they put up collateral in order for their bank or whoever to let them trade on a whole bunch of extra money they don't really have, but they've got collateral. So if it starts to go sideways, the bank can just take their collateral and it's all safe. But like this way, I can trade with 100 times the money of what I actually have. It's called leverage. And all these different tricks, they're called derivatives. And they let these big players gamble with huge positions in the market. So this now, when the stock moves by $1, they're leveraged 100x. And so if the stock goes up by $1, they can make like 100x $1. Or if the stock goes down, vice versa. And this derivatives market has gotten really big, like hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of these weird bets just all over the market. These are the top banks. It's like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, their names are over there. And this is in millions of dollars. So we're talking $49 million. That is $49 trillion worth of these derivative bets open with just JP Morgan, the biggest bank. But the thing about these derivatives is they all have collateral backing them up, right? And the thing they use for collateral, they're not like you and me. It's not like they're putting up their car for collateral. They're putting up their other assets. So in over here, they're going to be trading these assets on that collateral. And over here, they're trading the collateral on these assets. And so the whole market is now tied together by all these big financial institutions trading trillions of dollars worth of stocks that they don't actually have on leverage that's based on collateral that they're trading for trillions of dollars worth of stock over there. You see what I mean? So like if they fuck this one up, then that one gets fucked. And there's all these dudes doing this like kind of criminal shorting businesses out of existence scheme in the market in kind of in secret. And they've been targeting GameStop for years now. Ever since 2014, the stock was on this endless ramp down. They were short selling it while they had infiltrated it and were mismanaging the company from the inside out. Amazon was licking its lips, ready to take over the video game online industry. And the people doing all this short selling also have all these other crazy bets open all over the market. And if any of them go wrong, a whole lot of things go wrong. And then out of nowhere, this random dude that would like live stream to four people about his investment thesis noticed that GameStop had a lot of short sellers, and it wasn't necessarily a bad company. In fact, it had a future if it turned around. And then this really savvy businessman came and took over the company and started turning it around. And he kicked out all the bad people that had been trying to mismanage it to death. And suddenly all the people that had just spent years and years short selling millions and millions of shares and all those loans were still open because they were expecting it to go to zero and they wouldn't have to pay them back. Suddenly the price is going up and they're all in trouble. Because the thing is, when the price goes up and one of the other people that's short selling the company gets scared and closes out their trades, they have to buy all those shares back to get out of that, right? Because they borrowed and sold, so now I have to buy and give them back. But all that buying makes the price go up even higher. And there were a lot of people short selling this thing. And in fact, they had short sold it so much that they couldn't afford to buy it all back once the price started going up that high. I mean, it was down to like 50 cents and they were opening short sales at 50 cents. Today we're at what, $60 times millions and millions and millions of shares that you have to buy back? Each one will make the price go up. And the whole stock market is tied together by all these crazy financial derivatives and everyone's balance sheets are actually kind of sketchy in the first place. Yeah, and we all realize that all we have to do is buy the shares and just hold on to them because these guys need to buy them from us in order to close their trades out. Whoopsies. And you know, the more we thought about it, the more we realized, nah, I don't really want to sell. Fuck you. So then they tried to trick us into thinking that they had already closed their positions and it was all over. And we were like, I'm pretty sure you're lying, dude. So we just held on for years. And it turns out we were right. Shorts never closed. And now we've all got the shares that they need in order to close. And you know, I still don't want to sell. Fuck you.
Hell yes. Right on, man. That's some knowledge right there. Awesome work. Shout out to Ian Carroll. Definitely check out what he has going on. Dropping all types of knowledge. I'll post the link to this video. But damn, it's a lot of information there. I had no idea how all of this works, to be honest. I heard about the GameStop short fiasco a couple years ago. I thought it sounded awesome that the people were taking the power back. It was kind of like, fuck you, like he said, to the system and all these rich-ass motherfuckers that want to destroy companies from the inside out. I had no idea they did that to Toys R Us. That's what happened. They purposely ran that shit into the ground. And I'll never forget that shit. Because I was a Toys R Us kid. I am still one. I don't give a fuck. Once you identify as a Toys R Us kid, you are always a Toys R Us kid. And they took that from us. Even though I'm a fucking grown-ass man now, I'll never forget what it was like as a kid. And I wish the children of now could experience what it was like back then when your parents would take you to Toys R Us, which wasn't often. You'd go once in a while, and it was like the best day of your life. And maybe you got to pick out like one toy or one Nintendo game. And you used to have to grab the slip from the wall of Nintendo games and bring it up to the counter, and they'd get it for you. It was just a time. You know what I'm talking about if you were there. And these motherfuckers took that from us and from your children and our future generations. I know, I'm being very hyperbolic and I'm just mostly joking, but for real, it was awesome. But yeah, anyways, back to the clip. Ian Carroll dropping some bombs, mad knowledge and information there about how this all works and how these people play dirty games and they don't even have the shares. They just like fucking, yeah, well, nobody's paying attention. So shady. And they didn't count on everybody buying these shares and holding on to them. Awesome stuff. Hold on to those shares if you got them, for sure. I don't have any. I ain't got any money for that shit. But if I did, I would definitely hold on to them, which I know a lot of people are doing. And I'm sure they're looking at other companies that these people are hoping will fail and that they've infiltrated. And I'm sure people are going to be onto those as well. And it's going to be hilarious to see how this unfolds. But I'm sure that they won't allow it. They'll halt the trading. They'll stop it somehow, like they did. I think Robinhood was one of the apps that people would trade on. And they stopped people from buying GameStop shares, I believe, during the whole first wave of this. So I don't know what they will pull to stop all of this if it continues. But this has definitely piqued my interest. And now that I know a lot more about how this is actually working and all the ins and outs and how there's like trillions of dollars held up in these types of bullshit shorts, I am definitely going to be watching the movie and all of its many sequels and spinoffs. No doubt about that. I will definitely be sharing it with all of you. Thank you all so much for joining me for this episode of the Brave New World Order. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that some of it was eye-opening and interesting. Let me know what you all think. I love to hear from you. Reach out. Leave a comment, a review. Smash that like button. Hit up Spotify. Answer the Q&A. Whatever you gotta do. Get in touch. Help out the show. Share this with your friends, your family, whoever you walk by on the streets, anybody that'll listen. Spread the word. Tell them about the Brave New World Order. And if you really want to help out the show financially, you can leave a donation. There are links in the show notes on the website, thebravenewworldorderpodcast.com. Email me, thebravenewworldorderpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out and follow me on Twitter. I'm not really active on there. I'm more like a lurker. I don't really have many followers on there. But if you want to reach out on there, it's an avenue. You can DM me, say what's up. I definitely would love to hear from you. I will be back with much more Brave New World Order. In the meantime, stay positive, everybody. Definitely question everything. Who knows what's really happening out there? And think for yourselves, everybody. Much love. Peace out.